class. Prof JC, welcome back to the Office Hours podcast, the Leadership Podcast, your final podcast in this class. And before we dive in, I just want to stop and just say thank you for the work that you've done these past 7 weeks. I've been extremely impressed with the work that you've done. I've been extremely impressed with the thoughtfulness to your responses, the exam, the essays that you wrote, the videos that you put together. Very impressive. And I have appreciated your embracing this topic. This is not an easy subject to talk about. And I know that to be the case because the other class that I'm teaching this same class, and I'm teaching it for an in-person group of what I would consider to be very mature MAOL students. They're getting ready to graduate. And it's not been an easy class to teach in person. And this subject is not an easy one. Some people resist it. Some people don't want to talk about it. And I think for good reason. I think in the world that we live in today, there have been a lot of people who have who have put negative connotations on words like privilege and bias and diversity and inclusion. And I think all of these things have been politicized. And so when we want to have just a general conversation about it, it makes it much more difficult. And so I really have appreciated your thoughtfulness and you being willing to come to the table and have these conversations and talk about it and be transparent in your own writing and in your own researching. So I want to say thank you for that. Our final video is just kind of, it's going to kind of wrap up kind of what I want you to take away from this class. Three primary points that I want to make. Number one is this: we all have privilege, and that's important for us to understand. Again, saying that is tough because of the world that we live in today. It has been made to be negative to say that we have privilege, to admit that we have privilege, to recognize the privilege in our life. And so one of the things that we've talked about in the in-person class, because we had a huge conversation about this our first night, and it was our first 2 weeks, our first two in-person classes were all around this topic of privilege. And it was really tough to kind of get everybody in line with this. And the reason why I think it's important for everybody to be in line on this one is because if you're getting a master's degree, you have privilege. Okay. And there were some people in the class that didn't want to admit that, that couldn't see that. You know, one of the things that they would say is something like, well, I've earned my privilege. I've earned it, you know, and those two things don't really go hand in hand. I understood what they were saying. What they were saying was that I've worked really hard to get to where I am, and that's fair for them to say. But what they were not recognizing are all of the shoulders that they've stood on to kind of get where they are. I think it's like 11 to 13% of the population has a master's degree. I think it's like 3% has a doctorate. 11 to 13% have a master's degree. And it's something like 36 to 40% of the population has a bachelor's degree. So if you're able to get yourself into a world where you get some kind of education, there's privilege in that. And, you know, it may not be privilege like you had a multimillionaire mom or dad that helped pay for all of it, but there are certain things that I guarantee happened along the way that helped you get to where you are. And so the thing we had to say is, number one, we have to recognize that there is privilege. But number two, what we said in the class, and I think it's important that I want you to remember this, is that we're never apologizing for the privilege that we have. That's not the purpose of any of this. And my hope is that as you go out into the bigger world and you embrace this idea of inclusive leadership and diversity, my hope is that you never, ever apologize for the privilege that you bring to the table. That's not the purpose of anything that we've talked about. And so I want to leave you with that. That's one of the things that I want you to walk away with, is that you certainly have privilege. It may not be as much privilege as somebody else, maybe who had a billionaire father or billionaire mother, but there's privilege that you have. Okay, if you're in this program, you're a master's student, somewhere along the line, you've experienced some kind of privilege to get you here. one of the students in the class, the in-person class, one of the things that she said, and she had a great story. She came from Iran. And so she had a whole background about how women are treated over there. And I think her story, this is why I like in-person classes a lot, because we can have these conversations. Her story is what opened up the rest of the class to admit, you know what? Okay. This makes sense. And here's what she had to say about it. If there's no choice involved, you can't call it privilege. Is that what she was? I want to make sure that I'm correct in saying that. Privilege is, by definition, privilege means that there is a choice. Yes, so I'm saying the same thing, but I'm saying it in inversely, right? So privilege means that there is a choice. So, and how that comes up is because somebody else in the class had mentioned something about Iranian families who are extremely rich, and some of the women, and they're extremely, you know, rich because their families, and so because they're wealthy, you know, somehow they have a lot of privilege, and there's some truth to that. But then the point was made that if there's no choice, there's no privilege. If your journey in life, whatever it is, you didn't have a choice as to where it got you, that's where there's no privilege. Privilege inherently means that there was a choice involved, and it may not be your choice. It could have been your parents' choice, right? There's an element of privilege there. Maybe they're the ones who came across, you know, in the case of this young lady who was speaking, they came across and they came from a different country and they made the choice, and they made a lot of choices so that their daughter, the student in my class, and her sisters could have a life better than what they had. So there was a lot of choices in there. And then they were able to make choices along the way. So there's choice involved. Anytime we talk about privilege, that means that there's been a choice that you've been able to make. If there's no choice, usually that means no privilege. Okay. So I want to make that point. Number two is this: we all are biased. You are biased and I am biased. And again, if we had an in-person class, we could really talk about that and really dive in on that. And I think you would recognize it. I would recognize it. We've done activities with our in-person class to say, hey, this week, I want you to recognize it and then come back and share with the class. And it's been pretty amazing how everyone has started to say, wow, I didn't realize how biased I was in certain situations. And the reality of it is a lot of it is unconscious. You know, we don't even know it. And the reason why this is important as leaders is because when we make hiring decisions, and when we make promotional decisions, and when we decide to reward certain people, if we're not careful, we will consistently go after and attract and recruit and retain the people that remind us of us, right? I've used the example before that if you were to walk into a room and if you were to walk into a room and you knew nobody, and it was just a completely different situation, you were a brand new situation, you didn't know anybody, you didn't know, it was a brand new experience, you would more than likely, let's say there were like 20 different groups in the room and they all looked different, you would go to the group that reflected you the most. Okay. That's part of that bias. We are all inherently and unconsciously biased in certain ways. And again, it's not a bad thing. It's not about shaming people for their bias. It's just recognizing the privilege we have, recognizing the bias we have. Okay. And then one of the things I shared, and this is a whole, you know, it's a whole new thing. After I'm listening to all these people in our class talk about their bias and the privilege that they've had, is that then moves us into a whole nother sphere of what I call gratitude. Well, I don't call it gratitude. It is gratitude, but it moves us into this whole other sphere of recognizing how good our life has been in some ways. And maybe we've had to overcome. And that's not saying that you on the call, that you haven't had to overcome a lot to get to where you are to get this master's degree. I understand that. But the privilege along the way, the help that you've gained along the way, when we go there, it brings us to a mindset of gratitude. Well, you take that mindset of gratitude in the workplace and it transforms everything and everyone. And so this understanding of our privilege and recognition of our bias, it's so important for us as we lead inclusively and as we lead with fairness and with equity to the best of our abilities. And so all of this is important. So I wanted to bring that up. Privilege, bias, and then the last thing that I wanted to talk about, that if you take nothing away from this class, take this away. It's on page 66 in our book, The Inclusive Leader by Jennifer Brown, and she talks about this idea of leaning into vulnerability. Leaning into vulnerability. And here's what she has to say. Because the road of inclusive leadership is so personal, with the intent to change minds and hearts, opening up and sharing more of ourselves, our personal stories, and our struggles and experiences is crucial. And here's the key. Today's employees want to connect personally with their leaders. They want to know what their leaders think, what they stand for, and what they value. That is a true statement right there. When leaders open up with vulnerability, share their stories and experiences, and tell us about their weaknesses and struggles, they appear more human and approachable. We find them inspiring and easier to connect with, easier to relate to. This is a tough one for me. I'm a Gen Xer, and I grew up with baby boomers. I understand baby boomers. I get them. Being a Gen Xer myself, I've got a different way of kind of looking at the world maybe than someone who's Gen Y or Gen Z or Gen Alpha, especially. This idea of vulnerability has been a tough one for me, but I want to share this with you. And this has been a lesson that I've had to learn. This idea of vulnerability, authenticity might be another way that we can say it, right? And this all surrounds the work of Dr. Brené Brown. If you haven't read any of her stuff, read her stuff. She's incredible. But she really champions this idea of leaders being vulnerable. Here's what I found just recently, which is helping me understand that this truly is important. So I have the privilege of teaching here at Point Loma Nazarene University. I call it my day job. I'm a full-time faculty member here, and I love what I get to do here. But then I have what I call my moonlighting, my night job. And it's not really a night job, but you get what I'm saying. It's consulting and training out there in industry. I love it. I think the two work hand in hand. I think my classroom experiences help the experiences out there in the real world, if you want to say it. And I think the real world certainly helps my experiences in the classroom. So there are most of the training that I do surrounds soft skills in the workplace. And it's a big thing. It's a big thing. And I'll be honest with you, it's a moneymaker because a lot of people, they're technically smart, but they don't have the soft skills. And so they come to classes like mine. They're kind of required to, leaders especially. How do we lead better? How do we lead with more understanding? And so as I begin to do these trainings, I will tell you my first few, I've been doing this now in industry with the company I work for, probably for about a year and a half. And I would say I'm just now starting to get this and what this means. Okay. So when I would get out there and I would do these trainings, I would kind of, you know, I'd get to certain points where I had to share a story or it might be good to insert a story. And I would tell the story of someone else, or I would make up a story about, you know, Joe Schmo over here, right? Something that would fit to it. And, you know, it went over okay. It was decent. But the reason why I did that is because I didn't want, especially in the marketplace, it's a little bit scary out there because you don't get to know, like these people don't know you. You come in for a 4-hour session and then you're out. And for the most part, you never see these people again. And so I've been nervous about sharing myself with them. But somewhere along the way, there was a training I was doing and I recognized that if I'm going to make this fit, I've got to be honest with them about my own life. And I've got to be honest about my own journey. It was an emotional intelligence training that I give quite often. And there's this part where it talks about thoughts and feelings and how they can lead us astray and lead us in the wrong direction if we're not careful. And I knew that I had a powerful story from my own life that I had to share around that. And I was nervous to share it because when you put yourself out there, when you're vulnerable, when you're authentic, you put yourself out there to also be shamed a little bit, to be judged for choices that you've made, right? Because here's what I also know. If you talk about your successes, you'll turn everybody off and no one wants to listen to you, right? I've worked very hard in my life to get to where I am, to get to where I'm going. And I could list so many successes I've had, but that just turns people off. Okay. So I learned that a long time ago. That has not been a struggle for me at all. I keep the successes to myself, and it's the failures that we have to talk about. Now what I'm going to say right here, it's kind of a success, but it's something I learned along the way. And I'm not saying it to pat myself on the back. I'm saying it because I want you to get this. One of the things that I found is there was a training I did on emotional intelligence, and I told that story. The story you know, I don't have time to tell, you know, I don't want to bore you with the story, but I shared the story and it was about a personal failure of mine. And it was everything it could take for me to share it, because again, I was afraid of the rejection that I might get. That's why we don't, you know, that's why we don't lead with vulnerability, because we're afraid of rejection. And I'll tell you, I'm grateful that I took the leap of faith on that one, because that's when the feedback in my own eval started to take off and started to really skyrocket. And I started beginning to find out that when I get in front of a room and I just share transparently about my own failures and my own issues, there's something that people recognize and they respect about that. And so I say all this to say, just a few weeks ago, just like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was up in Colorado doing a training. And normally you don't get the evals. Like, once you do it, the people who invite you, they get the evals. So they want to see who we want to invite back in the future, right? But this lady, her name is Megan, and she's someone that I think the world of. She decided to send me the evals because they were really good. And again, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying, here's the reason why. As I start, and I don't like reading the evals. It's not my, you know, we do it with Point Loma as well, because we want to make sure that we're always striving to get better, and it helps us to know what we're good at, what we can do better. So I'm not a huge fan of reading evals, and I'm kind of careful how I do that and when I do it. But I opened them up and I said, okay, I got to read this. And she encouraged me to. She said, hey, you know, these are a lot of positive evals. And the biggest thing that people kept saying over and over again is why they appreciated maybe some of the trainings that they went to. Is they would say verbatim, you know, JC shares a lot of his personal stories. JC shares his, you know, shares his failures. And because of that, it allows the rest of us to have an open conversation. And there are a few other things, you know, kind of put in there. It was a very humbling moment for me to read these, because I'll tell you, it's, you know, when I get on calls to do these trainings, whether it's virtual or I'm in person with people, they're very exhausting for me to do, because it means you got to put yourself out there, and it gets a little nerve wracking. You don't. And there are people who do judge, and I see them, you know, I'll see them. They'll kind of roll their eye. Oh, my goodness. This guy's an idiot. He's a failure. Right. Because all they're hearing is I'm just sharing stories about things I've learned along the journey and some of the failures that I've made. And again, I'm not sharing my successes. So what they're hearing is, oh, this guy. Right. And so some people do judge. And I've had some instances where people come up and they do judge. And I've had to learn how to balance it. Right. It's not a therapy session. So you don't get up and do it. And vulnerability has to lead somebody somewhere. It's not about being vulnerable to be vulnerable. It's always about leading somebody somewhere. I'm sharing this story because the lesson I want you to get is X, Y, Z. And I want you to learn something from this story, so it helps move you forward. So it's never about me, right? That's the biggest thing. Leadership is never about you. It's never about me, okay? But it is about being vulnerable. And I'm just sharing this to say that I'm grateful that I'm getting the lesson, okay? And again, I do this for a living, and I'm just now, and I'm admitting this to you, I'm just now getting the lesson in recent months about how important this is to be vulnerable. It's what people need. It's what people want, especially today. 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was a whole different story, right? This would have gotten you in trouble. You would not have been hired back, but it's a different world today, and people appreciate this. So when we're thinking about diversity and in inclusive leadership, and you're in leadership positions, and you're thinking about diversity and cultural demand, dynamics, I encourage you to be vulnerable and authentic in your own journeys as you're trying to lead. This is difficult stuff. You know, again, the in-person class that we've had, it's been incredible for me, you know, to see how difficult this is for people to wrestle with this diversity and inclusion and privilege and bias and all the things we're talking about. How do I become aware? How do I become an advocate? How do I become someone who goes in and tries to change, you know, change up culture and make it more diverse? And do I really want to do that? And there are people who would say, I don't want that. I don't want to make it more diverse. I like it the way it is. And that's okay for them to have a safe space to open that. It means we have to be vulnerable. You know, we have to share our own stories. And so I'm passionate about this. I need to let this go. But those are the three things that I want you to take away. So here's what I want you to do for your final video podcast assignment for this course is this. Number one, what was the first thing that we talked about? I mentioned three things that are important in this podcast. What was the first thing we talked about? And how has understanding that thing, I don't want to tell you what it is, I want to make sure you listen. How is understanding that thing, how is that going to improve your leadership moving forward? Then what was the second thing that we talked about? How is understanding that thing that we talked about, the second thing, how's that going to improve your leadership going forward? And then third, here's what I want to encourage you to do. And again, you can just write these in two or three, you know, sentences. You don't have to write full paragraphs about this. But then the last thing that I want you to reflect on is, how can you get better with your own sense of being vulnerable in the workplace? What's an area that you need to work on? What is something that you will do in the next 90 days between now and the end of the year to lead with greater vulnerability with your team? Now you say, well, JC, I don't have to answer that because I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. We all are in different ways. Maybe you're not a leader, but you're a team member. How can you lead from that position? Wherever you are in the org chart, you can lead. So the question I want you to reflect on is, how can you lead in the next 90 days with greater vulnerability? What is something that you're committing to do to lead stronger in that area? I have so appreciated you as a class, and I mean that. I have a lot of classes that come through. Yours is one, especially for an online class, I will not forget. You have been so thoughtful. You've been brave. You've been courageous, and you have done great work these 8 weeks, and I greatly appreciate that. And I hope this has added value to you as well. That's the most important thing, that you walk out of here and that you've got just a deeper understanding about why diversity is important for the workplace. Thank you so much for all that you've done. And I hope that I get a chance to see you out in the real life, right? Not just virtually, to see you here, there, or on the other side. Take care of yourselves, everybody. We got one more week, so don't mail it in yet. Okay. You know, we got a little bit more to go, but I just want to say I so appreciate the work that you've done. Thanks so much for all your work, and I will see you soon. Take care, everybody.